happy Mother's Day, especially to that young woman back there, second in the back, my mother-in-law. Happy Mother's Day to you. I'm Father Bob. Surprise, your mom's here. I would like to welcome the visitors that we have in our midst. I'm Father Bob, and I would invite you to let us know how we can serve you better by filling out a visitor information card. That way we can be in contact with you, and also by coming to the parish hall after services so that we can share a cup of coffee and some dessert and just get to meet you and get to know you a little bit. Well, we're continuing our sermon series this morning on the first letter of John, and we've come to John chapter 5. Now, the first letter of John is all about tests of the true Christian life. And just as a quick recap, we started off this series with the theme of walking in the light and how we have to turn our back on the darkness so that we can walk in the light of Christ. And then the second week, we touched on being a new creation in Christ, and we had J.J. Reeves' baptism as this great testament of what it is to be a new creation in Christ. And then we had John's plea that we would love one another the third week. Last week, we heard the theme that God is love. Not that love defines who God is, but that God defines what love is. This week, we have this interweave between love and the commandments that God has given us. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and obey His commandments. You ever know a kid that got everything that he wanted? Maybe he was the envy of your eyes. Well, I once knew a kid whose mom would not say no to him. He got everything that he wanted. Now, he and his mom had been through some tough times together. And when I got to know him, it was just the two of them. And she had this great fear that if she said no to him, that he wouldn't love her. And so, he got everything that he asked for. Eventually, he got everything that he told her that he wanted. Now, when this young man was in high school, he could come and go as he pleased. He didn't have a curfew. He'd go out with his friends. He started going to concerts when he was in junior high with his friends without an adult chaperone. Sometimes, if he was out late, he would just crash on his friend's house. He wouldn't bother to call home and let mom know that he wasn't coming home. He would just crash at his friend's house and then turn up the next day. See, her strategy was that if she could just put in his hands the latest cool stuff, that he would love her. And so he had all the latest gadgets. His big passion was shoes. He loved the cool new shoes that were on the market. And so he always had the coolest shoes on his feet. When he was little, he would throw a tantrum so that he could get his way. When he was older, he started yelling at his mom, and on occasion, he would hit her so he'd get his way. Mom could not say no, and so she said yes so much that her son developed an addiction to stuff. He tried to bring a lot of stuff in his life to fill his need for love. His mom fell on hard times. She lost her job. She could no longer give him the stuff that he wanted. He got mad. He left home. He spent a couple of weeks on a friend's couch and then realized that he couldn't get stuff that way either. He resolved that he needed to get a job. Only he was 15 and nobody would hire him, so he went back home. See, this was a mom that always wanted the best for her son. And she gave him everything that his heart desired. But she did not give him what he needed. Eventually, her dreams of him going to college were derailed by this quest for stuff. And he settled for a minimum wage job so that he could keep paying his bills. No college. She was crushed. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and obey His commandments. Now, I can't definitively say that it was this mom's parenting style that caused the son to become who he became, that it fueled his rebellion, but I can say that it was a major contributing factor to that. He still had choices to make, to be sure. See, that's one of the things that makes us in the image and likeness of God, that we can choose for ourselves. But she strongly influenced his choices in the future. And the thing is, this is actually very consistent with what we find in the Scriptures. That's why we have 1 John saying, "For the love of God is this, that we obey His commandments." And this is not some radical, original thought that John had one day. But what he's doing here is he's echoing a major theme of Scripture. Something that he learned from his mentor, Jesus, and something that Jesus had revealed long before he was known as Jesus in the law. Jesus said to his disciples, as recorded in the Gospel of John, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. Live in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in His love. I have said these things so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete." So you hear the pattern there? That God loves us, and we are to show God that we love Him by keeping His commandments. And when we show God that we love Him by keeping His commandments, we encounter joy. If we just run after joy, it's that elusive thing that we reach and grab for, but we can't quite get to. But if we look to love God by obeying His commandments, joy just comes to us. Not superficial happiness, but deep, peace-filled joy, contentment. That's what God has in store for us. But we have to do it God's way. We have to follow the order that He has revealed to us. And Jesus dwells on this whole idea of keeping the commandments in the way that He tells us to bring up disciples. In Matthew 20, He says, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." Teaching them to obey all that I have commanded of you. It is integral to who we are as Jesus' disciples, as those that he calls his brothers and sisters united in one family, that we would follow the house rules, that we would obey his commandments. This is because Jesus is the fulfillment of a promise, a very old promise. See, we hear in the Gospel of John that Jesus came to reveal a new commandment, but it's not really a new commandment, it's a quite old commandment. So that we can come into the future that God had for us. And so I'm going to push us all the way back to the time of the Exodus. God had made the promise to Abraham, to Isaac, and Jacob that his people would have a land flowing with milk and honey that they would be able to live in. Milk and honey symbolizing that they would want for nothing. A place of contentment. And then he gave them the commandments. And as you go through the commandments, you see first commandments about what it is to love God, the behaviors that are associated with loving God, and then second, you see the behaviors that are associated with loving God's family, loving our neighbor. And the fifth commandment is one that really stands out in this list, and it's a fitting commandment for today. The fifth commandment is to honor your father and your mother, that you may live long in the land that I am giving you. Now, did you realize that second part was tied to that commandment? Most people don't. In our prayer book, we just hear, honor thy father and thy mother. But the whole commandment is this: honor your father and your mother, that you may live long in the land that I am giving to you. Paul would write much later on that this was the first command that God gave with a promise. That if you do this, you will get that. If you honor your father and your mother, you will be able to live long in the land that I am giving to you. What we find when we really unearth this commandment in Scripture is that it's not just dealing with young folks. It's not just telling little people to say yes ma'am, no ma'am to their parents, though that is part of it. And so that is one of the greatest gifts you can give to mom on Mother's Day, is to just show her honor and respect and appreciation. But it also has to do with how we treat our parents when they're older. In fact, the Scriptures tell us that we are to care for our parents. That is part of what it means to honor our father and our mother, is to care for them into their old age. Deuteronomy 30 breaks open this whole idea in a really in-depth way. Surely this commandment that I am commanding you today is not too hard for you, not too far away, is how it opens up. And then we hear that this is not something that's written in heaven that's inaccessible to you, but it is something that I have given to you. God has revealed His will for the people of Israel and has given it to them in the law. And if you obey the commandments, you will be able to live long in the land that I am giving you. Now, if you read on in the Bible, past Exodus, you find that the Israelites weren't able to live up to this vision, were they? They rebelled. They chased after other gods. They treated one another horribly, like we are apt to do from time to time today. They did not represent God, their Father, well. And so, they weren't able to live long in the land. And God knew that was going to happen. And so you read through the prophets that this is going to happen, that the people of Israel are going to rebel, but that God will send another, the great Messiah, who would enable them to live long in the land. And so God sent His Son, His Christ, not to overturn the law, but to be the fulfillment of all the law and the prophets. To make good on that promise that was began with Moses and echoed through all of what we now call the Old Testament. So that we would have a land that we could live in and that we would have the ability to live long in that land. See, we are now in the age of grace. And the age of grace means we have forgiveness when we don't follow the law. It does not mean that we have carte blanche to go and sin. God forbid, Paul tells us, that we should take our forgiveness for granted. And that we should just go and do as we please. But the Scriptures tell us over and over again that grace gives us forgiveness. And out of gratefulness for that forgiveness that we have, we need to live a life worthy of forgiveness. And that we should extend that forgiveness that we have received to others. And all the time while this cycle of forgiveness is happening, God's Spirit is at work in our hearts, making true a promise that was given to Moses long ago when He told Moses that He wanted all the people of Israel, all of His people, to not just hold the law, but to carry the law upon their foreheads and in their hearts. And so that's what the Spirit is doing. It is writing the law of God bit by bit into our heads and into our hearts. Every time we go and look to Him for forgiveness, we say that we're sorry, we find forgiveness, and in that exchange, we are changed. Over and over again. And eventually, our lives come to look more and more like the life of Christ, where we live in God's commandments. And we act toward others the way that God desires us to act toward others. Not because He told us to, but because we love God and we know that it will be pleasing to God to love others the way that we are loved. See, that's the spirit of the law. Is the law shows us how to do best for one another. How to truly do good for another. And in its essence, that's what love is always seeking the best for another. And so, it is in this way that the love of God and God's commandments are so intertwined that they can never be broken apart. Jesus said to His disciples, "This is My commandment, that you love one another so that your joy may be full. Amen.